Come on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Back in my day, Porter Turkle, that bastard.
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny. Do not bob at me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 116 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, December 11th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about Elk River, his finest, Boudreaux, and face punching. In the studio with me is Jive.
Hey, you, dude, I was like so ready to go. You can't do that to me. Okay. You can't do that.
Okay, maybe Kenny's. Maybe Kenny's here too.
Maybe.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
Apparently, according to the video,
we're all three of us here. Yeah, yeah.
How was your snowy weekend?
I'm a big fan. God. It's a good show.
Yeah, I know we were complaining probably ad nauseum before the show about. Because this is really our first snowfall during daytime hours.
Yeah.
And people have forgotten how to drive.
And the first big snowfall, at least for the metro area.
Right.
Apparently MDOT or MNDOT?
MNDOT.
MNDOT?
Yes.
You know, kind of just put everybody on hold since it's the weekend and nobody had to get to work.
Well, no. I mean, the snow was like kind of scheduled to keep going. And if you've only got so many people who you can put on the road, you got to kind of space it out. You got to, you know.
It's even worse than that, though, because so earlier today, I'm thinking I'm just going to hold off. I shoveled early this morning. I'm like, I'm going to hold off to go travel about until it stops snowing, because I'm looking at my phone at like 9 o'clock. It says
it's going to stop at noon.
Snow's stopping at 12:15. So I'm like, okay, I'll hold out. And after
then
that,
it said like 2:45.
I check at like 11:30. It says like 1:45.
Yes.
I check at like 12:30. It says 4:15. And I said, screw it. I'm just going to shovel what I can. And then I'm going to get the hell out of here.
You just got to do multiple at lighter doses.
That is exactly what happened to me too, because eventually it said like 8 o'clock and I was like, oh, whatever.
Well, so, you know. I went from northern.
Snowing is never going to stop.
No.
Thank you, global warming.
Winter is here.
Winter has come.
So I went from northern suburb to southwest suburb of Minneapolis.
Right.
And, you know, this is like at 7 a.m. My drive is normally like 35 minutes. I left an hour early. It wasn't really snowing. The only snow coming at me were the people off their roofs that didn't, like, you know, decide to brush it all off. As I'm going down, and they're doing 30, and I'm going, dude, it's all clear. You can at least do, like, you know, maybe 45, 50.
This was a good snowfall, though. Like, if your car wasn't warm and it just fell on your car, it's a good one.
It just blows
to
right
like
up.
Just go and like start driving because it'll just.
I thought about like warming my car this morning. Like, no, I'm gonna leave it cold because yep. I'll drive. And I'll be that.
You'll be that guy.
I'll be the snow comet down the street.
Snow comet.
It was bad. I mean, I think every time I left, so I ended up working super late last night, but I was parked underground in a garage, so I had nothing on my car. Like everything melted off. By the time I got home, I had like an inch and a half of snow on my license plate.
Oh, yeah.
Park in a garage. I leave this morning. There's nothing on my car. By the time I get to work, there's like 2 inches of snow on my license plate just from everything kicking back.
So speaking of license plates, so I had to venture out actually yesterday evening. I was out in search of a toilet of all things.
How does this go with license plate?
Well, let me tell you.
A, B, F.
Let me tell you. And then I also got a couple other honey to-dos on my way to find a toilet. One of them was to stop at Walgreens and pick up a prescription from there. So okay. Here I am driving through Cottage Grove. I have the wife's minivan because, you know, I need to be able to load a toilet into the back. I need to be able to load the shitter up,
shitter
right?
Shitter as well.
And I'm turning left to come down into where Walgreens is there, and what happens? cherries light up behind me.
Oh,
oh, crap. So I pull over into the parking lot there, and the cop pulls up behind me, and he comes and he walks up, and he's like, you know, can I have your license and registration, you know? So I start to get that stuff out for him, and he's like, your driver's side headlight is out. It's like, oh, sorry. Because it's my wife's van. I don't drive all the time, you know?
And he didn't do anything about you being a black man?
No. Okay. Actually, he was a very polite cop, and...
Well,
I bumped that one.
I was like, where does that sound coming from?
So no.
That actually was, I saw his hand. That was totally accidental.
So he's like, yeah, okay. He gives me my insurance back, takes my license back, and he goes and runs my card, I'm sure, to make sure I don't have any warrants, I guess, or anything, you know. Bad den leader, Cub Scout den leader out there or something, right? But he comes back and he's like, well, you know, make sure you get that fixed. I was like, all right, I'll get it taken care of, you know. So I go and I do my business. I get the thing from the prescription from Walgreens. And then I was heading down towards Menards because that was my, you know, main mission out here tonight was to go find a toilet. So here I am driving down the road.
I see where this is going.
You see where it's going? And coming at me the other way is another officer. He flips his cherries on.
They're profiling you, dude.
They're profiling me. He comes
around. It's tough to be a black man in the suburbs.
Yes.
You're profiled over a toilet.
That's a shitty thing to do.
Did you tell him that? Like, dude, I'm just a black man trying to get a toilet. That's a shitty thing to do.
No, but I did tell him that, you know.
I'm a black man?
No, his buddy just got done pulling me over. And he's like, oh, really? You know, and then he informed me, though, too, that he was pulling me over also because of expired license tabs. But it shows in the system that you're current. I was like, well, yeah, I bought the license tab.
Are you kidding me?
How long ago were they purchased?
That was in November.
Okay.
Yeah, not too bad.
We're only 11 days in.
But anyways, I did get pulled over twice. But I got away with no tickets. I got, you know, so fair enough. And I was like, I'm on my way to get a headlight. I'll get the license tabs on the van. And so today I do have two headlights and license tabs on the van. So,
but you didn't have any cracks in the windshield or anything like that. Nothing hanging from the rearview mirror.
There is the broken passenger side. Mirror, you know, that
not required by law,
but that, you know, somebody, not naming any names, clipped when they were backing out of the garage.
I am curious though, has your significant other been pulled over for these same reasons?
No.
Profiling.
It is
profiling. Oh my god.
Or did she just turn the tears on and they let her go and she didn't tell you about
maybe it? Maybe she didn't tell me about it, but I highly doubt it because she laughed at me when I got home and I told her this and she's like, I've been driving around like that for a month.
Oh man.
I think on that note,
let's
talk hockey.
So, oh, Josh.
That's me.
Yeah.
Josh.
You're looking for the black man again.
Here comes.
So, what a week it was. Wow, we can't report on any wild losses. The worst thing that we had was a shootout win over the Oilers. I mean,
It's been a good week.
Yeah, we can't complain about that. The Wild's current streak is now, their win streak is now 4 in a row, which I do believe this is the longest streak in the Boudreaux era. I don't know that we've seen any longer than that yet this year.
So not win, or for win, yes, but not. I don't think we've had a longer point streak.
Point streak,
right?
Okay,
but still, that's
yeah.
I'd rather have two than one.
Most definitely,
right?
especially for games like this evening's game against the Blues, where the Blues are sitting, you know, a few points ahead of us in the standings.
Can't
currently.
Give up any points, yep. Especially to divisional teams.
Yeah,
and we didn't give up any goals to Alexander Steen, who always seems to like weasel his way into a goal against the
Wild.
You
know who we gave up a goal to though?
Who?
Tarasenko.
That wasn't surprising at all.
Well, we haven't yet this season.
Well, it's a question. It's not really not a question of if he will score a goal against
it's
the Wild.
When.
It's when. And this is our third game, I think, against the Blues already this year.
Yeah.
It was bound to happen at some point.
He'll come on like a hurricane. Okay.
Where's the crickets?
Okay. I don't even know where those are. So, but yeah, so four in a row right now. I mean, they ended their road trip, you know, their Canadian road trip. They ended that strong.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, you know, continued right on over here at home.
I'm pretty sure, well, not to derail you, but I'm pretty sure one of us predicted the Wild to sweep. This week.
I think that was me.
I think that was the Nostrakenians.
I know I was talking about disappointments, and if I have to be wrong, I have to be wrong. That's okay.
I thought tonight was going to be the one where the Wild faltered, but
you know,
Aaron, it actually was a close game tonight, but...
Aaron, we make a good pair. I see the future, and you remember the past.
There is one thing I don't forget, you know, and I hold grudges like a mother. Yeah.
So when I see that grudge coming up, I won't tell you about it.
One thing I did notice in a couple of the last games, I think it was Toronto and then again tonight, was that Boudreau had Prosser out there late in the game, like in the last final minutes of the game. I mean, what do you think? Does Boudreau have a lot of trust in Prosser and his, you know, defensiveness, and you know, I mean, how do you guys feel about Prosser playing that role?
Well, you know, I have a nuanced view of Prosser. That being said, I think if Boudreau is given the choice between Prosser and a healthy, 100% healthy Follin, he's going Follin any day of the night.
I think almost any coach would go that route,
right? That being said, I think Prosser has developed a bit since compared to where he was, say, last year. And with that, he gets a little more leeway. He hasn't been as boneheaded as he has been in the past years. He's been relatively solid this year, I think. You know, considering he's, you know, third line D, you know, he's got a little more limited play time. He's been actually kind of solid, I think.
You know, I'm glad to hear us commenting on a player actually progressing, like learning from his mistakes, right. Rather than repeating over and over. Like, dude, he's like just getting worse. Like,
he's not doing the Clayton Stoner path, you know?
No.
And actually, I think the analogs are pretty similar. You know, it's like Prosser versus Stoner. Stoner is actually more of a meathead, but they're basically third line D guys with limited potential in a general sense. But Prosser's made a good thing for himself here. You know?
Yeah. And I guess, you know, my thoughts on Prosser is that he maybe isn't necessarily like, you know, he's never going to be your number one or number two defenseman. But I guess I personally have felt that Prosser usually finds himself in the right spots. And I think he does that, you know, with his, you know, experience in the game where he's in the spot where he's supposed to be, where he's supposed to play to defend. And based on that, I guess I feel that, you know, Boudreaux is kind of warranted in giving him this type of role, especially when you're trying to hang on to a small lead at the end of the game. You want somebody that you can trust to, you know, be where they're supposed to be. You don't want a young man out there like Dumba, who might take a chance and you know,
a needless chance.
Exactly, right. A needless chance. Something where, well, it could come out awesome, and you know, something exciting happens from it, and something good happens from it. Well, then yay! But
right,
something bad happens from it, and you—it's like,
bad.
Yeah.
It's, so
yeah.
The good is great. The good is much smaller than the bad is bad.
Right.
Is really what it comes down to.
You know, but that good play could make a huge impact in the game.
But it's really what it really is it's high risk, low reward.
No,
which is
you're right.
Which is what you do not want in those situations.
At that time, right.
Well, okay. So going off of that, I mean, like, Dumba, is he the type of player that should be getting more limited then, since he's willing to take more of those? Or should he just be able to kind of spread his wings and kind of feel it out for himself?
I think,
Dumba's a prime example.
He's
of
still
that.
Relatively young.
He's still a very young guy, and I think he is still feeling his way out in the NHL a lot. And I think that he's finding himself this year in some sort of a, I don't even want to call it a slump. I think that he's maybe challenging himself to do some, you know, bigger and better things, and it's not always necessarily going his way. Sometimes things do fail, and though I find it right to give him the opportunity at this point, I think that we have the capacity on defense and as a team defensively that we can spare some moments like that.
Well,
and we have great goaltending to back us up.
True.
But, you know, there's a point when he's got to start, you know, making that turnaround and coming back. And, I mean, because we know he's got like a blazing laser of a shot that, you
right.
know, and the potential and the upside for Dumba is very high.
Well, and if you look at what they call aging curves, like with productivity, it's basically a bell curve.
Yep.
And depending on the position, it usually peaks somewhere between 26-28.
Yeah.
So Dumba's got 4 to 6 years to hit his peak even.
Right.
So it's really probably not wise to sell him short at this point. It's considering how well he's done so far at a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more prone to go, okay, let's just hang tight. He's going to develop some more. You're just hoping that the defensive end develops because he's a defenseman. You want him to not make dumb moves.
Yeah.
It's
in his name, though. Sorry.
Well,
I had to do that.
Well, maybe he should take back number 55, you know, if he really wants to.
I think he should be back to 55.
But that being said, he needs to develop, but he also not only does he need to develop his offensive game, but he needs to make sure that his defensive game is solid beyond all.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that he's been struggling with at least this year, I think, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So the longest win streak we had mentioned here of this season is right now four games for wins. We discussed that point streaks may have been longer. Do you feel that, you know, the Wild are jockeying for a good playoff spot at this point, you know, with that type of, a streak, or, you know, I mean, do we need to string more wins than that together in a row if we're going to plan to be a playoff team?
Well, we're jumping into our December like gray spot, usually like in the red, ugly looking that we have to claw out of. So I think right now any winning streak is a good jump on it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll take it, especially, you know, at least with the past few years under the Yo era, this has been a dreadful time of the year for Wild fans in general.
Well, and I think during the Wild game tonight, LaPanta and Greenlee were talking about how Boudreaux was saying, you know, if we can get a few 4 or 5 game win streaks during a season and just even just tread water the rest of the season, we're actually going to be in a pretty good spot. And if you think about that from an analytical standpoint, it's very accurate.
Well,
you know?
Especially if we're getting these wins against divisional opponents.
Right. Well, and that's been the one problem, though, is we've been having these three-point games against divisional, but conference opponents. And that's the part that's going to hurt us, because if we end up in the wild card spot, we're giving away points to those guys.
Yep.
You know, whether or not that makes a difference at the end of the year, I don't know.
I think ESPN, I don't know, it may have been LeBron, like within the last week or week and a
James?
Half.
James?
No.
LeBron? Oh.
LeBron. It may or may not have been him. I think it was with the
LeBron James.
I think it kind of came up with the whole CBA talk.
Mm-hmm.
Brought up about going to a 3-point system, or, you know, I guess it had been brought up with the previous CBA,
mm-hmm.
and how he was, you know, a huge proponent of it, because you wouldn't get some of these divisional, like, you wouldn't be getting so many extra points in the last, like, 3 weeks of the season, month of the season, because everybody's just playing for a point at that point, at that time.
Well, that goes back to any discussions about the whole 3-point game.
No, right, but I mean, just bringing it up with, you know, losing it to our conference opponents right now, you know, if we were in a true 3-point system, yeah, the ground might be not changing as much, like the differential, but right. The whole point system would be switching around a lot more.
It would change how teams approach in the game situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But to argue that, though, sorry to you know, drill into this point anymore, but...
how many times can we say point in 5 minutes?
Well, a lot of times. More times than the Wild can score points, I guarantee
you. You got a good
that.
Point there.
Yeah. But no,
I don't see the point.
What's the point of this argument?
Under the current system right now, a game such as tonight, you're going to do yourself a lot better, especially against a conference or a divisional opponent, to not allow that to go to
absolutely.
Overtime. Don't allow them the opportunity to get any points, even if you go to OT just to get a point or 2 points.
I think I said that to you towards the end of the game. I think when it was still 2-1, right before the empty netter, you know, and you're like, well, one of us had mentioned or heard something mentioned about them, you know, possibly going into OT or dropping it. And it's like, well, that's going to really hurt, especially against a divisional opponent. Like, you don't want to lose or let St. Louis gain a point one way or another, or potentially lose a point and they gain 2 by going into overtime.
Maybe we should just call it at the end, and it's a tie, it's a tie. You get 1, you get 1.
They used to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I think the bigger thing is that you really should never go into the last minutes of the third period going, hey, if we get to overtime, we both get points. That's like I don't want to be like the politically correct guy, but that's like participation points.
Oh.
You know, is my Southeast Asian coming through
I
here?
See there.
I'm beginning to think
I do have 0.2%
yes.
Southeast Asian.
You
apparently.
Now and me with Boudreaux, like when I can't say it properly, we need a Daffy Duck sample or Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd. Yes.
Elmer Fudd.
but it basically.
You're a it big basically, boy, use your big boy word.
That works, actually. Yes.
Good thing we don't get paid for this.
Right. But basically, we're awarding points not proportionally. And that's a real problem with what's going on right now, is teams will just coast. Especially if you're especially if it's a team, if you're a West team and you're playing an East team, you know, You have no incentive to finish that game in regulation.
No, you
have zero zero incentive.
Especially if that point's going to move you up or keep you on top of your division or right. close to the top of your conference.
Right.
You know what? Hey, why expel the energy, especially if it's like a back-to-back situation? Like, no, let your guys coast. You know, you just smother the puck when it comes back and protect it. Gain a point, take it into OT, and if you win, you win. You get an extra point. You lose, you still get a point, and you still move up.
Right.
Hey, but it could bring a whole bunch of strategy in there. Maybe you want the Hurricanes to have a chance to be your opponent.
Well, you know what?
When you have to play them in the playoffs.
You can still do that.
Do we really want that part of hockey, though?
No,
no. That's the bigger question.
Here's the thing, though. With a true three-point system, you can still do that. Rather than you getting 3 points for that win,
right.
You could still take it into OT and still let that team get a point, and you get two.
But you're sacrificing a point, though.
You are at that point. You're not staying even with 2 points
right.
per win.
And so that's a departure.
And then that's where I think if it goes into overtime, you should lose a point for not getting it. You didn't win that in regulation. You should have to sacrifice a point to give to that other team that made it into overtime with you.
I think it should just be the strict 2 points. You win, you tie, you each get one. You win, you go to the playoffs. You play till the death.
Okay, I could see that.
If it takes us till 7 a.m. in the next day, so be it.
Well, no.
I totally disagree.
because
it's completely unsatisfying to be at the end of the game and be going, okay, it was a tie, I guess. You know, I'd much rather have
regular
2 points.
Season.
I'd much rather go 3 points than tie.
I'd
rather go 3 points than back to ties.
How about OT till the death?
I'd be okay with that, actually.
Well, that's playoffs.
Or baseball does that.
Yeah.
And they play twice as many games.
I mean, I get what Jive is saying, where, you know, you're talking a true 2 point system.
You're a big boy. Use your big boy.
Wow, you guys are good.
High five.
You guys should have done like the whole miss.
We almost did.
Almost was.
It's a good thing that's not in camera view.
Do you guys know how to do the perfect high five? All you have to do is pay attention to the other person's elbow. Look at my elbow, Kenny. Put your arm up. Pay attention. Just look at my elbow and high five. It's perfect every time. Look, you got to do it at the same time. Say it time. Look at my elbow. Boom. See? All right.
Oh, boy.
But anyway.
Now that we've got the tips on how to do a proper high five there. Jive, can you tell me about wearing Zubas? What is the proper Zubas to wear during this season?
That's not
during
funny.
During the season?
That is so not funny.
Well, until about the beginning of January, purple and gold. But after that, you can retire the purple and gold ones for your green, red, and...
Well, when's the proper time for old school just black and white Zubas?
That's really not funny.
Or the hot pink Zubas. You know,
oh, that's definite summertime.
No, that's all the time.
Summertime.
That's all the time.
All right.
I sat through 4 sermons today where they talked about Zubas.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. They were brought up.
This is
really... They were black and white Zubas.
This is really...
You guys remember the Zubas with the hot pink striping zebra stripes?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I think I had a pair at one point.
I'm pretty sure I did, too.
Oh, yes. With all this wild Zubas talk, maybe we should get into our weekly wild card.
Yeah, let's do that. So we kind of touched on it a little bit. Right now the Wild are sitting third in the Division of Doom. We're 2 points behind the Blues, and we're 4 points behind the Hawks. Both of them have 2 games in hand, so technically, if the Hawks didn't play another game and we won 2 more, we might be tied with them, point-wise, maybe.
There's several games ahead of us.
Yeah, they're two. So we're close enough. So right now, though, the Wild, with the last 4 wins, with the winning streak, Jive, that you brought up, we're 4-1 in December with 9 games to go. Look at the elbow, Aaron. Aaron, look at the elbow. Elbow.
See?
Elbow. All the time, elbow.
It's perfect, yeah.
Jive, elbow. All right.
You are looking at my elbow.
It's still good.
You want to know a surefire way to fall down the stairs? Look at the ceiling as you're walking down the stairs. Because seriously, that messes you up.
I gotta keep going. Eric, can you type that in our thing? With, look at the ceiling as walking down the stairs. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, so they're 4-1 in December with 9 games to go. Will they be able to do a 500 December that we haven't seen in a while and actually maybe make it a winning December?
Well, they've already got a hell of a great start for that. I mean, to go 500 in December, I mean, at this point, you know, how many more games do we have in December?
I mean,
probably another 8 games.
Or better, Deck und HBCC, HCBB.
Right.
Deck und. Never mind. So,
well, it's hard to argue right now with how well the Wild are doing. I think they've had one regulation loss in the last 9 or 10 games.
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten points. Their point streak or their points have been.
And we're now what, 4 games into the season, into December?
5
games.
4-1.
So honestly, it's hard to argue with. And I got to think, you know, we didn't have this problem. I don't feel like we had this problem under Lemaire. We may have under Richards, but I don't think Richards was really
that. Well, he was here for what, a year and a half?
He was here 2 years. He was here two full years.
Okay.
But he obviously lost the locker room. I think, I don't think December's going to be that way.
Yeah. We've got, I just checked it out here. We've got 9 games left in December. So, in order for us to go 500, really, we only need to win like probably, what, 2 or 3 more? 9 and 5 is 14. Yeah, so 3 more. 3 more games and we'd be 500 in December. So.
Is that what we're really aiming for, though?
I don't think 500 is what we're aiming for.
Right.
We want, like we mentioned earlier with that, I think you had mentioned it, Aaron, the quote from Boudreaux, you know, if we toss together a few 4 and 5 game streaks in a row, or, you know, 4 or 5 win streaks, I mean, you're going to be sitting pretty. You're going to be sitting all right. And, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, if we do happen to have a little bit of a lull here in December, but then come back and, you know, add on another 3, 4, or 5 game win streak, I'm happy with that.
I think really the bigger thing is we're not having those long losing streaks.
Yes.
And we've had that every single year under Yo.
Well, it's been December. It's been the December slump.
And it's not been just like 4 games. It's been like 7, 8, 9, 10 games where we're legit.
Did it actually come to double digits 1 year?
I'm pretty sure that was what.
Is that what got him canned?
No, I think that's what got Dubnyk in here. So I think things are better. I did notice during the game tonight, you know, while the Wild aren't very strong with the whole dump and chase stuff, they're playing way better along the boards where they're tracking the puck around and they're very cognizant about other players around them, as they're playing the boards. More so, I feel more so than during the Yo era, where it was just like, you know, they're on the perimeter, but they weren't really doing anything.
Yeah,
you know, and it was basically they'd chip it in and then lose it promptly.
Right, and those are the areas along the board. That's where you can win and lose a game is the board battles.
I mean, right,
really, you know, if you come up with the puck or two out of there, you know, you can get some pretty big opportunities out of that. So, yeah.
So, over 500?
I think they're going to do it. I have hope in Boudreaux, so.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think that they'll definitely, I mean, the worst that they've been doing this season, you know, at a time, they were close to going, you know, falling back to around 500. But once again, now we see them rising above that, you know, you like you say, you toss a couple streaks or whatever together there, and now you're well above 500 again. So I definitely think that they'll come out above 500.
I don't see us December. Maybe a streaky team, but I don't see it like a full on slump.
Team. Yeah, I think a combination of Stevens and Boudreaux, they've got this team figured. Maybe they just have hockey figured out. The only thing they haven't figured out is being paired with superstar talent that's going to take them to the next levels. Because I think at this point,
well, maybe they need just the blue collar players.
Well, we'll see if this late, you know, leads to April and May success.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well.
April, May, June,
July.
Well, it is going to go late.
Is it going into July this year?
Yeah, I think so. We didn't start till mid October.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
A good buddy of ours is back in the news again, or maybe not a good buddy of ours.
Huh.
But a former Wild player.
Yeah.
Mr. John Scott.
Yeah.
He just. Wrote another article on, I'm blanking out, not Sports Nation. Was it Sports Nation? Something. I don't remember now.
The Players Tribune.
Yes, the Players Tribune.
Yeah.
Actually, a very good, that man can write.
Yeah.
I like reading what he writes, I wish he would write more.
He's a smart guy.
I mean, it
wasn't like he was going to ASU. He wasn't
planning on going into hockey. He just kind of, it happened, you know, his size. But his latest article that he wrote was basically his retirement article and made some very valid, or told some really good stories about when he was at the All-Star game and Bettman meeting with him and going, you know, with these. Are we okay?
Like, you're not going to kill me, are you?
And that's basically what Scott alluded to is like, yeah, it was like he was looking at me like a mafia guy, like or a wrestler. I'm going to smash your head.
Oh, that and we then get the John Scott rule.
You know. And he goes, yep. And there's now a rule made about me. So he's got his
okay. So it's not to interrupt you, but. So, do you think the rule was added in order to prevent another John Scott just because it's embarrassing for the league? Or to preserve the legacy and the awesomeness that was the John Scott moment?
I'm going with option A. I think it was to prevent that from happening again and making the league look like a fool.
Yep. Bodie McBoatface.
I think you're right, Jive.
Yeah, probably. I like to hope that it's because they want to make that special, but I don't have the confidence that they're actually that altruistic.
No,
so.
I think it's so the league doesn't look like a fool again.
Yeah.
So he's got a book coming out, I think December 27th, up for pre-order right now. All varieties on Amazon, you know, hard. Copy, electronic, Audible. And he also actually just sent an Instagram. I don't remember if it was today or yesterday that he got in the mail the second revision of a movie script about the John Scott story. So I don't know if I don't know if it's based on his autobiography or if it's just about the whole thing with the, you know, kind of like the Rudy story.
Okay, so if there is a John Scott story movie made, who plays John Scott?
Well, that's some of the questions that were asked on there was who's going to play John Scott?
Right. I know it's probably a cliche answer, but Lee Schreiber would be my first choice probably.
Well, I mean, we've seen him in Goon. Got
right.
Goon 2 coming up.
Right. Maybe he'll be like, I've already done that.
No, Lee Schreiber, though, he's...
But they even look somewhat similar,
though. Well, he'd have to shave everything, and, well, I guess. Who else? Who would play?
Johnny Depp.
if a guy can play a pirate and Donald Trump... why can't he play John Scott?
Why not? John Scott Scissorhands.
Well,
it's cutting the ice.
Boy,
I honestly, I don't have anybody in mind right now.
Yeah,
I can.
That's
tell
what
you...
we leave the casting call for.
Yeah. So, anyways, how do you guys feel about this? Like, is this going to be John Scott's new thing? I mean, he's been playing Mr. Mom with his girls and his twins, and
that's probably that. I think that's great for him.
It
I mean,
sounds like he's really enjoying it.
He's you know, had a career.
The only 6'8" dad at dance recital class.
Well, let's be honest. His abilities were limited.
Oh, he knew that. Know. He says that.
So and he's made plenty of money at this point.
Right.
He's a smart guy. He's gonna be able to live off of that for a while. Hopefully he didn't get punched in the head too many times, and things will move on. But speaking of head punching. So, Curtis Gabriel, back with the Wild.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
So, faces were punched.
Uh-oh.
Penalties were assessed.
Oh, yeah?
Gabriel is arguably our first enforcer since maybe... Kanapka?
Kanapka wasn't an enforcer. Kanapka just got punched in the face.
Here comes!
But that'd be maybe the closest, though, right?
Enforcer, no. Fighter, yes.
Okay. That being said, do we need an enforcer? Does it actually help? Does it help? It does.
I think that you need at least one person who you could put that role on, yes. How important it is probably not as important maybe as in days past.
If Gabriel scores 0 points and he plays 30 games, is that still a value add?
Well, then you would be gauging him actually on different types of statistics, you know? Like,
Didn't Pavel get that range last year at one point.
I think Vanek did actually.
when he comes out there though, you know, if what he's being called for is to bring some physicality to the game, and you know, a little bit of enforcement to, you know, maybe make the other team think twice about taking a run at one of our other guys. You know, you're judging him on a totally different level then, basically. You're not looking at how many goals or assists he's gotten. You're looking at, you know, was he effective in deterring the other team from, you know.
But isn't that what Chris Stewart's around for, though?
We got guys partially, that are willing
but,
to do
but,
that.
But Stewart is, he can score, though, too. I mean, he's not.
But like, don't you want that, though? Don't you want a guy that can, you know, you don't want single dimension guy who all he can do is punch faces, right?
Yeah, maybe goalies should be able to skate.
No,
them too.
I don't think you can have a straight up enforcer in today's NHL. You honestly can. You might be able to have a guy with size that can fight, but at that point, he can also either play defensively or he can at least work the fourth line, you know.
Or, I mean, a person like that, you may just call them an enforcer, but, you know, what happens when you plant those types of guys out in front of the net? They're hard to move, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe, you know, the defenseman who's been whacking on Parisi all night, you know, slashing him up out in front of the net, is going to start to think twice about, you know, what he's doing in front of the net when you've got somebody like that out there, so...
Not fair. So are we for Gabriel or against him?
Let's see what he does scoring wise, assist wise. But he's not getting that much ice time. Keep him down in Iowa for the time being, and see what happens. See if he can develop a little bit more.
I like the role based thing. Bring him in if you think you need him. I think because wasn't the last time that he came in? I'm trying to remember the game. we were, because we were following up, it was like the second game to the team. And I'm drawing a complete blank right now.
You're a big boy. Use your big boy words.
Yeah, I don't have them. Oh, I can't remember that team. But anyways, but that's exactly what you might need it for, though, is, you know, when something is, you know, gone awry, maybe when you played Chicago the last time in their home, and now you're looking, you know, well, we know we got to beef things up a little bit, you know, when they're coming into our house or something.
Well, you know, and I see, I look at it as, you know, this isn't baseball where you need a guy that can pitch one inning. I think you need guys that have, that are multidimensional and that can do a little more than just, you know, stir the pot.
What?
You know?
I can agree with that. I mean, you've only got so many spots on the bench that, you know, you can play and put in your arsenal out there to play with. And, yeah, if that's all he brings to the table, it might not be what you need night in and night out. But you guys were, I mean, you were mentioning, like, you know, if he sees 30 games this year, if he's playing a role in those 30 games of, you know, of being just that, if that's the role that the team needs to be successful in that day or on that game, so be it.
Well, he needs to provide more than just face punching, though, is really what it comes down to.
Okay.
Because I don't think in this league...
Elbows? Sorry.
Elbows to the to the groin, maybe, or knee on knee.
Who is it I saw headbutted somebody in the groin the other day?
In the groin?
Yes.
Foul school now.
I can't remember who it was, but yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's go Twitter talk. Oh, wait. No, we got upcoming games.
Upcoming games.
Tuesday. 2 days from now. December 13th versus the Panthers. Is Bukestad still alive? I don't even know.
I don't know, but they got the old man Lemieux there, right?
You guess they got Lemieux.
Yeah. No, not Lemieux. Yager. Yager. Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
You're a big boy. Use your big boy words.
Apparently, we should stop recording tonight because, you know.
I was like, I was wondering. I didn't know if you were making a joke or
not. That was an old man joke because I'm being old and thinking I'm saying the right word.
I think this is the reason we moved to Monday nights.
I was totally confident I was saying the right name and everything. I do associate those two a lot, though. You know,
I agree.
Lemieux and Yager, but
well, they both like... won the horrible memory of '91.
They
were both on that team.
Yep. Thursday we play the Predators, the Purds, and then Saturday we play the Coyotes and their head coach Wayne Gretzky, right, Jive?
No. The Rocket.
Richard?
Yeah. Right?
I have no idea.
I'm kidding.
I don't know where...
I think he actually may have just passed, like, recently.
Yeah, he did. I think he passed away. Okay, we're getting dark here.
Okay, all right.
All right, let's go to Twitter talk.
Yeah,
come
let's
on.
Spruce things up.
First question, Derek Felska at State of Hooky News. What sort of Secret Santa gifts would you give the following people? Let's start with Koivu. What would you get Koivu?
Horseshoes.
Rabbit's feet.
Well, no, I'm just thinking Captain Clydesdale.
Oh, I thought you were going with a luck angle.
Oh, no, just, you know.
Well, I'm gonna stick with a rabbit's feet. Just that, and it's kind of creepy. Do you remember going to like Circus Pizza?
Yeah.
And in the redemption bins would be rabbit's feet.
Yeah,
think of how creepy that is. Actually,
are those even real?
Can you find them anymore?
Oh, those were feet.
Yeah,
you could feel dyed
different colors, and you could.
Oh, they were dyed,
and they had the claws.
But there was nails there.
Oh, yeah,
those are definitely
claws are still there.
Because what else? If you're dealing with dead rabbits, what are you doing with the feet? Who's eating rabbits' feet?
Giving them to kids at Circus.
Apparently.
Somebody found the market in that and just made bank.
Okay, Jive, what are you going with Koivu?
Oh, with Koivu, jeez. Wow. We got horseshoes, we got rabbit's feet. You know, I don't know, maybe, you know, along those same lines, maybe I could see, like, you know, kind of a him being like that guy in the movie Wild Thing that's got the voodoo doll in his locker.
Oh, you're thinking of Major League.
Yeah. Oh, Major League. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Jobu.
Jobu.
Our Jobu's right in front of us.
But
can you get him? You got him?
Yeah, I got him.
But yeah, so maybe
there's
we could.
Our Jobu. it's our Black Heatley.
Maybe we could get him some sort of an idol like that he could pray to before games.
Next, Aaron Parisi.
Parisi, what would I get Parisi?
What do you get for the hockey player who has everything?
Right.
Oh, I could go so dark with this one.
I get him a $10 gift card to Target just because I'm cheap and he can afford something else anyway.
I'll give him a $15 gift card to Tom Reed's Hockey City Hockey Pub. Whatever that place is on 7th Street there.
go.
What's the air conditioning place that Suter works for?
Train.
No.
Temp Star.
Temp Star. There
I'm
we
getting
go.
Him a Temp Star gift certificate because Suter's not giving him shit this year.
Oh, wait, I revise. I'm going to give him a $10 quick trip.
Quick trip. There you go. Oh, man.
We'll just end this with Bettman. What do you get for Bettman for Secret Santa?
A boot up the ass.
How do you do? It's not secret then anymore. Come on, think a little more.
I'll blindfold them. Guess whose boot that was?
Jive. Secret Santa for Bettman.
Cole.
See, that's all you had to do is Cole.
Cole.
A dildo. Come on now. That's the proper answer. Jive. Next question.
Our next question comes in also from Felska. He asked three in the box. So, who in the NHL besides Gary Bettman deserves the biggest lump of coal? Oh, it's right there.
You read ahead.
I must have read ahead. Who deserves the biggest lump of coal in their Christmas stocking? And for what reason?
I got
reason?
This one. Not necessarily with the NHL, but close enough and very much affiliated. Pierre. Pierre deserves a lump of coal because he is Pierre and he's pretty creepy. You got a big lump.
You got a big lump.
Is that Malignant? Sorry.
Jav, what are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody who I really, really, really hate right now in the NHL more than I would hate Bettman.
Oh.
I know who I'm going to say.
You might have him.
Eric Johnson, because he's a turncoat, and screw him. Oh, or Nazem Kadri.
Kadri's a dick, too.
Yeah. Either one of those two guys. Both of
them kind of, I think Kadri kind of took over Bertuzzi's spot for being most hated by Wild fans.
Wild fans hate a lot of people.
Wow, this is true.
And sometimes it's Wild players in addition.
Until they come play for us.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was that.
Bertuzzi's coming out of retirement, what?
Oh, we'll take him.
He's our favorite player.
Can you go concuss a guy from St. Louis that we don't like? What about that asshole that gave us a cheap shot from Anaheim?
Next question
from Teresa Ferries. Ferris.
What?
Ferris.
Teresa Ferris.
Like a wheel.
At MNSoda24. Why do the Wild insist on sending the puck behind their netminder when they should focus on getting it out of the zone?
It's because you want to set up and kind of survey the landscape. That's how I view it, you know.
Yeah, you're freeing up. You're trying to make yourself some space. But, you know, to that same point, you're not advancing the puck at that point. You're, you know.
Well,
you're putting yourself more in a hole. And
sometimes it's also buying time for a line change, too.
Sometimes yeah. for that.
You know.
And, you know, sometimes they just do it, though, because, you know, that's the thing. You come back and you try to calm things down behind your net. But if the other team is pressuring, you can get yourself into some trouble there. If you get caught back in your own zone and pinned in there like that. So
and that does happen, unfortunately.
Yep.
I mean, luckily, a lot of times it's actually meant for regrouping.
Or a line change.
Or we're actually controlling it into that position.
Yeah,
I think it's more maddening when we're dumping in on a power play on when we got fresh guys. That's more maddening to me. Next question from Derek Fels at State of Hockey News. Should the NHL owners let the players play in the Olympics, or are they right to not want them to risk an injury?
Let them play. They're the best. They're the best players in the world. The Olympics should be the best players in the world. I say let them play.
They are, but at that same point, the NHL is a business, and you know they've got teams that they need to field on the ice back here. They've got, you know, there's especially nowadays, like with the ticket prices and of things, you know, depending on the players that are on a roster. They can demand, you know, more money for the entry to a sporting event based on who's playing on the team. So, you know, at some point, I mean, it's a business move too. And not to say that I agree with that because I'm a fan of the sport of hockey. Yeah, I'm a big fan. It's a good show, and I want to see those. I want to see those guys out there in the Olympics.
Yeah.
But at the same point, I do also, you know, recognize that, you know, they've got a business to run here. And if that's what they're planning to, you know, bring money through the door, what are we going to do?
You got an opinion?
I'm saying, I mean, I get the objections, but at the same point, just because you can't make money on it, doesn't mean it shouldn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
Money in and of itself should not be the only driver of everything you do. That's part of the problem with our society today is I won't do anything for you unless I get paid for it.
That's every sports league out there right now.
But this is beyond sports league.
Said though too. Are the NHL players looking to, you know, put their careers at risk? For no pay, for no gain.
Ovechkin definitely is because he said no matter what happens, he's going to go play for Russia in the next Olympics.
It seems pretty obvious. Players in general are willing to play for their country. And for better or for worse, that's where we're at.
So, all right. Hypothetically speaking, the NHL says, no, you guys aren't allowed to go play. All these players go and play. What's the NHL going to do? They just lost the best players to the Olympics. They're not going to suspend every single one of those players.
Nope, they're not.
So who holds the upper hand here? The NHL or the players themselves?
Who do the people pay to see?
The players.
There you go.
Yep. If the NHL wants to try to strong arm them.
You're a big boy. Use your big boy word.
That's fine, but, you know,
do we get the WHL back again?
Right. We're going to have some other league that's going to pop up and go, well, we'll take you.
We'll pay you. Yeah. And then we'll allow you to play in the Olympics. You don't have to deal with Gary Bettman.
Right. So, you know, you can go for those strong arm tactics, but at the end of the day, is that really?
And then we've got Daryl Strawberry running down the first baseline.
Next question.
Oh. Is that me?
Yeah.
Oh. Next question comes in from Teresa. Ferris, three of the box. Please, please explain putting a faster player like Zucker on a line with, I mean, Slowpoke, Captain Clydesdale.
I got an idea.
Koivu.
I do too. Go ahead.
So, Zucker's hands absolutely suck.
Yeah.
Not that Koivu's are much better because he's got one shot.
Oh, he's got good hands, though.
He does.
Yeah.
He's got one shot. As long as Zucker can get down to the other end of the rink by the time Koivu gets across the blue line, it'll set Koivu up for a possible shot. And see, with a couple of guys trailing Zucker.
And see, I'm thinking stretch pass all the way because Koivu is going to be able to pass it on the dot. And Zucker, you know, given 20 opportunities, he's going to get one of those into the net.
Are we at 18 or 19 right now?
He had a goal cut just a couple nights ago.
Oh, he did, yeah. That's right.
So,
and he had some great shots on tonight.
I mean he's not Parisi. You know,
no. Actually, he's faster than Parisi.
He's faster than Parisi, right? Right. I mean, but he's not going to be fooling anyone with his moves or anything like that.
So he's not going to dangle like Coyle.
No, and he's not going to toe drag like Granlund.
Right.
He is who he is.
He is his own beast. I mean, and speed can kill. You know, when you're maneuvering, and if you can maneuver around the defenseman. And, you know, you get yourself in behind them. They're either turning around, trying to, you know, play you, or, you know, they're going to have to play the man back, you know, who might be getting the puck back. In this case, we'd be talking about Koivu, and then that's going to leave Zucker open for some shots. But that said, I mean, Koivu also is, I think, a pretty good playmaker. I mean, he'll set...
Oh, yeah.
He will set people up.
He's a passer before a shooter, that's for sure.
And I think that, you know, the hopes there is, like, you know, to maybe hopefully get Zucker some more chances like that with a player like Koivu.
All right. One more question coming from Mr. Derek Felska at State of Hockey News. Should the Vegas club take this trademark challenge and change the name, or is it Golden, in quote, or in parentheses, Golden Showers, Golden Knights for everyone?
This is the one I wanted to answer.
You're chomping at the bit for this one, weren't you?
So if you didn't realize, there's a trademark challenge on the Golden Knights because there's a small college team that is using Golden Knights as their team name. So, my thought on the perfect name, if they have to abandon the Golden Knights, the Golden Girls. Because, come on, who doesn't love some Blanche here?
Was it Airheads? Naked pictures of B. Arthur? Yeah. Dude, what? Really? Dude, they'll just think we're insane.
Or Betty White, you know, you got some in her St. Olaf character with the, so you get a little Minnesota tie back there. Las Vegas Golden Girls. Come on now.
I'm
not feeling you.
Las Vegas Golden Shower Girls?
Where's the cricket sounds for that one?
Are we asking to rename this here? Or
no, should they should they change your name, or should they just say F all of you, we're gonna keep it?
Well, they might not have a choice.
No. Well, no, I mean, they could just change it and forego the lawsuit issue and just say, all right, fine, we'll just change it, or they could fight it and then still potentially lose it and still have to change it.
I think that this is their opportunity to be original, and they might as well just, you know, find something that's original. The Dark Knights.
No, it's going to have Golden in it.
No, DC has a trademark on that, too.
The Dark Knights?
Yeah.
Comics, too?
Batman, man.
Yep. I know.
Batman, man?
Yep.
Batman, man.
Batman, man?
Batman, man?
Batman, man?
Batman.
The Vegas neon lights. See?
Well, they couldn't be the Jokers then either.
No.
Queen of Hearts?
Nope. That's
a song.
Dolly Parton song?
No. Playing no. with the Queen of Hearts.
It's somebody. It's like a female pop country singer from like the '80s, I think.
Somebody help me out here. Keep me away from
I'm not searching
you.
For it.
No.
Not even incognito.
Okay. So my choice, Golden Girls. Are we done with Twitter talk here?
Are we done with this show?
Hey, we're done with the show.
All right, let's go.
You're a big boy. Use your
They
big
should
boy
have
word.
Gambling references. It should be just be the Las Vegas craps.
Roulettes.
No,
oh,
it is
no,
craps.
Claps.
Pokers. Poke checkers. No, poker checkers.
No, craps.
Craps. Las Vegas craps. Period. Or Vegas, or Elvis impersonators. I guess I'd be okay with that too.
How about the strips?
Ooh, okay. Or hookers.
There we go.
Why?
Oh, the Vegas hookers. That's it. Why
and,
not?
And you have a guy fishing yeah. as your mascot.
Right. Oh, I was thinking Dr. Hook as your mascot, going around like, yeah, mm-hmm. something. Yeah. Why am I feeling that this expansion team is going to be like all those crappy AHL like?
Oh, because it is. It already is.
Like you know how every AHL
you've already
team...
got you've already got the two word name, which is basically almost every AHL team that isn't using their parent club's name.
Do we are there any NHL two word?
Or no, it's more like ECHL. It's because now.
AHL's getting more a little bit more professional.
Well, it's more wild, or it's more like, or the Chicago Wolves. It's like very, yeah. very one word name. ECHL, it's like all over the place, though. Las Vegas Falcon goes Las Vegas potato bars. I can agree with that.
What? I don't know. I see this like every game is going to be some weird jersey. That they're skating out with that's super ugly that's going to make Puck Daddy's...
Oh, yeah. They're going to have, like, a Trump jersey at some point where it's, like, all gold or all orange. One of the two. I don't know.
Or all gold with an orange head?
Maybe.
Well, maybe they could try to also maybe foreshadow their future. And instead of having the name follow it, they could just be the Stays... In Vegas. What happens in Vegas? Stays in Vegas.
I don't know where you're going.
The Stays.
At. Oh, they're the Stays?
Yes.
Well, okay, so...
Wow. You had to explain that a little too much, and I don't still even get it.
Do,
so.
do you think the bookies out in Vegas already have odds on how long it's going to take before the team moves to a different city?
I don't know, but I'd like to get in on that. So
let's wrap this up, man.
I think we have it there.
Just like in Vegas, just wrap it up.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That's Twitter talk. Kenny, where can people find what you were up to?
Oh, you know, Twitter, Instagram, at NostraKennius. You know, you can find me there. Most of my recent stuff is on there.
And Jive, where can people find you?
Find me. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Watching,
listening, hearing, talking,
ask
tweeting.
Us questions.
Ask us questions. Tag us, #3ITB. You can get our podcast at 3inthebox.com or through your favorite podcast catcher, iTunes. Leave us a review and give us 5 stars, hopefully, because that'll help us get a little more exposure.
Or give us feedback. Tell us what the hell we're doing wrong here.
Yeah, no. I mean, because I know we're not perfect.
No, we're a bunch of jerk-offs.
We're three guys that set up a studio.
Yeah, we just talk in the mic and pretend we know what we're talking about hockey.
We're just guys who like some hockey.
We like some face punching and some skating and some water sipping.
Hey.
A la yo.
Hey.
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 All right.
Hey.
That'll about do it.
That's it. Thank you, guys.